hit one button too many. I got it now. It's on pause. We want to thank the Lord already to be in the house of God tonight. I got the date wrong this morning. It's November the 27th instead of the 26th. They didn't affect the service any.
No.
I appreciate the Lord visiting this morning. Had good Sunday school lesson. Good message on the grace of God. A little scattered tonight. I'm probably dragging my feet just a little bit. Most of the time I'm pretty conclusive on what I'm going to preach, but I'm not tonight. And we'll just deliver what God's given us unless He does otherwise. But we thank the Lord for the great liberty He had this morning.
Yes, Lord.
Just praise God that He does the things that He does. I just try to stay out of the way, amen.
That's right.
But we want to have a moment of prayer here, sing a song, and we're going to be taking our text out of 1 Samuel. We'll go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank You, Lord, for so many, Lord, that watched the service this morning. Lord, it's a blessing, Lord, to know that so many people, Father, were able to benefit, Lord, from the message this morning, from the teaching of the Word of God this morning. Lord, we rejoice in that. And Lord, we know, Lord, sickness, Lord, is taking its toll upon the churches, not just this one, but all of them, Father, are suffering right now in their attendance from people that are sick. And Lord, we just call upon You for help.
Yeah.
Lord, that's what we do. We just bring it to You, ask You to help us, Lord, to recover, ask You to help us, Lord, to get healed up, help us to get on, Lord, I guess, level ground. Lord, I pray for these we mentioned this morning. Lord, we want to also pray for those who hadn't seen for a while, Lord. We pray for Miranda and Mark. Pray for Caden and Tavian. We pray for James and Star and James Jr. Pray for Jordan. Pray for Casey. Lord, we just got a lot of people, Lord, hadn't seen for a while. We pray for them, Lord, tonight. Pray, God, also, Lord, for Brother Mitchell, Lord, and Sister Phyllis. She's been having trouble, Lord, passing out. We pray for Brother Mitchell. His health is down right now. Pray for his sister, Bessie. You'd help her to find residence, Lord. I pray for Sybil. Pray, Lord, Father, for Sharon. I know Sharon's sick, and I guess Sybil is too. I pray for Vonnie. Lord, I pray for her. I know she's under the weather. We pray for, Lord, Patty and James. We pray, Father, Lord, for Sister Joanne. I pray, Lord, for Rita and for Eric. And pray for Joanne's, not Joanne, but Rita's husband, Joe. Lord, he said he was really bad sick. We pray for Joe. I pray, dear Father, Lord, for Lord Kevin and for Billy and for Denise. Billy's, Bonnie's son, got cancer. And Kevin's got leukemia. We pray for him. Lord, we pray, Lord, Father, for Denise, struggling, Lord, with her mental issues. Father, we pray for her. I pray, dear Father, Lord, for little Sarah that had the swimming accident.
Yeah.
Lord, she's still trying to recover from that. We pray for her. I pray for little Maverick. I pray for little Levi. Lord, we just got so many sick. I pray for Patrick and Sarah, for Lucy, Chase, Micah. Pray for Patrick's dad, Ronnie, Lindsay. Lord, these old frail bodies, they sure do like the wind blew the trees today. That's the way we do, Lord, when the sickness comes through. Father, we bend pretty easy. But I pray, Lord, for all these that are sick. Pray for Sister Brenda Goth. I pray, dear Father, Lord, for Carolyn and Jerry. Pray for Tammy and Danny. I pray, dear Lord, for little Thomas. Pray, Lord, for Addie and Landon. I pray, Lord, for Carol, Serenity. She said Serenity's been sick. Pray for Larry and Leroy. Oh, Lord, we just pray for James and Carol. Pray for Donnie. Lord, he's going to have a rough week. They had a man to quit. We pray for him. He's not out of the woods with his health neither. We pray for Brother Donnie this week.
Yeah.
Lord, I pray for Brother Ed, his family, And Lord, we pray, Lord God, you look into our family, Lord. We pray for Mark and Kay. Pray, Lord Father, for Lord, their mother. Lord, just tonight, Lord, we call upon you, Lord, Sister Joanne. She's suffering from pneumonia and also from a fall. We pray for her. Just pray, dear God, tonight, Lord, that you visit all these tonight, Lord. May we wake up tomorrow. And I pray, Lord, that we wake up better than we went to sleep. I pray, God, Lord, you would minister healing, Lord, to your children tonight as they sleep. May they wake up in the morning feeling much better. We'll thank you and praise you for all you've already done and what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, bless the service tonight. Amen. All right, we're going to try to sing one song tonight.
I prayed for Mary Calloway while you was praying.
Thank you, Brother Ed.
She got a hold of me a while ago. Well, she, if you remember this morning, she said,
"Yeah,
please pray for me, I need prayer." Well, I found out what's going on that she needed prayer. She had one of those exams, breast exams.
Yeah.
Okay. And they didn't like it, so she has to go back in the morning, she said, for another one. So she wanted us to pray for her. She said, "You know what? I'm good anyway it goes."
Bless her heart.
Yeah.
She said,
"Amen. It's in God's hands, and I'm good anyway it goes." I said, "Mary, that's the best news I've heard all afternoon."
Amen, Sister Mary.
Yes.
Amen. This song tonight we're going to try to sing is number 39 in the Blue Hymn Book, "The Last Mile of the Way." And the way things is looking, we're getting close to the finish line.
Yeah, boy.
And I know the Bible said our salvation is nearer than when we believed. A lot of waters went on the bridge. And I like this old song. And it's easy to sing. So we'll do our best. We don't have a piano player tonight. We don't have a song leader tonight. My pastor said we sing by the letter. That just means rear back and let her go. That's what we're going to do tonight.
Right.
He said, "If I walk in the pathway of duty, if I work till the close of the day, I shall see the great King in His beauty when I've gone the last mile of the way. When I've gone the last mile of the way, I will rest at the close of the day. And I know there are joys that await me when I've gone the last mile of the way. If for Christ I proclaim the glad story, if I seek for His sheep gone astray, I am sure He will show me His glory when I've gone the last mile of the way. When I've gone the last mile of the way, I will rest at the close of the day. And I know there are joys that await me when I've gone the last mile of the way. Here the dearest of ties we must sever, tears of sorrow are seen every day, but no sickness, no sighing forever when I've gone the last mile of the way. When I've gone the last mile of the way, I will rest at the close of the day. And I know there are joys that await me when I've gone the last mile of the way. And if here I have earnestly striven, and have tried all His will to obey. Twill enhance all the rapture of heaven when I've gone the last mile of the way. When I've gone the last mile of the way, I will rest at the close of the day. And I know there are joys that await me when I've gone the last mile of the way. Well, one of these days, praise God, we'll finish our course.
Yes, we will, brother.
I'm going to stay on course till I do get to the finish.
Yeah, me too, if I can.
Amen. I've got a good captain that's not only sailing my ship, but he ain't never lost the ship. Amen.
That's right.
It's hard for a ship to sink with Jesus on board.
Amen. That's true.
Titanic set sail 1912. And some idiot said not even God could sink that ship. But didn't even make it a maiden voyage. Didn't even make it the other side.
No, that's right.
Don't ever underestimate God. Amen.
Amen.
God said, we'll see about that little flop on the side. That's it. All right, we're going to take our text out of 1 Samuel. And I'm going to read quite a bit of scripture tonight. I really only want to read one verse to preach, but I ain't really got a lot to preach on. So I want to bring you to why Hannah prayed the prayer she prayed.
Yeah.
And why God granted her petition. So I'm going to read all of chapter 1, and then when I get to chapter 2, I'm only going to read 3 verses. I think that's right. Yeah, I believe that is right. But it tells us here, now there was a certain man of Ramathaz Open, oh my, of Mount Zipporah, and his name was Elkan, son of Jerem, son of Elihu, the son of Toho, the son of Zup, and the Ephonite. He had 2 wives. I wouldn't wish that on nobody, but he had 2 wives. Name of the one was Hannah. And the name of the other was Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the 2 sons of Eli, Hophni, Phinehas, the priest of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Eklan offered, he gave unto Peniel his wife and all her sons and her daughters portions. Now notice she had sons and daughters.
Yeah.
But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. Reminds me a lot of Jacob and Rachel.
Yes, that's right.
And this next verse is one of the reasons that Hannah is sorrowing so much. And her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. In the book of Psalms, the psalmist was suffering, and they said, "Where is thy God now?" Well, that's kind of what's going on with Hannah here. They're saying, "I thought God loved you." They're making it worse. And they're provoking her sore, made her fret because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her, therefore she wept. So Hannah's weeping because she'd been provoked and she did not eat. Then Elkan, her husband, said to her, "Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eatest not? Why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am I not better to thee than 10 sons?" And he's a good husband here, trying to encourage his wife. So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh. Now after they had drunk, now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow. That means she's serious. She's bargaining with God. Mm-hmm. She vowed a vow. Well, I felt the Lord, brother. Woo! And said, O Lord host,
yeah,
if thou wilt indeed, oh my, mm-hmm, look on the affliction,
yeah,
of thy handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord, mm-hmm, all the days of his life. There shall no razor come upon his head. She's talking about a Nazarite vow there.
Right.
But we're talking about the greatest prophet of the Old Testament, Samuel here. This is how Samuel came to be. He had a very godly mother, mm-hmm, and she's bargaining with God. She's bitter, bitterness of soul. She's weeping. She's praying. Now, you're talking about touching God. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Now Hannah, she spake in her heart only, her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she'd been drunken. And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. And Eli answered and said, go in peace. And the Lord, and the God of Israel, grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. She accomplished her purpose, Brother Ed.
Nice.
And they rose up in the morning early, worshipped before the Lord, and returned and came to their house, to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord.
Yeah.
And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned, then I will bring him that he may appear before the Lord and there abide forever. And Elkanah her husband said unto her, do what seemeth thee good, mm-hmm, tarry until thou have weaned him, only the Lord establish his word. So the woman abode and gave her son suck until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks and one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine, and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli, which is the high priest. And she said, oh, my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman. Boy, that's pretty good right there. I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord for this child I prayed. And the Lord hath given me my petition which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. Now that's all of chapter 1. Chapter 2 is what we're preaching out of. But I want you to know this is, she said, I am the woman.
Yes.
This woman's on a pretty high note right now. God's granted her petition. Mm-hmm. She suffered. God's seen her suffering. She says she made a vow to God. God honored that vow. She done her part. He did his part.
Yes.
Now here she is the second time. And Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoiceth in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. Talk no more exceeding proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth, for the Lord is the God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty men are broken, and they that stumbled are girded with strength. They that were full have hired out themselves for bread, and they that were hungry ceased, so that the barren have borne seven, and she that hath many children is waxed feeble. The Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. The Lord maketh the poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill to set them among princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he hath set the world upon them. I could read on, but I'm going to stop right there. And I'm preaching tonight on God's in charge, and I thank God he is in charge.
Amen.
And we won't be long. I know I won't. I'm just too tired. But Lord, we thank you for what we've read.
Yes, Lord.
We thank you, Lord, what we've seen with our own eyes and can bear record tonight. Yes. With what we've read that you've done, just like what Hannah said you've done. Lord, you are that God.
Yes.
And Lord, she was that woman that made a vow to you, and you honored that vow and granted her that son, and she kept her vow and gave him to you, Lord. And Lord, we just got blessed reading tonight. And I pray you bless the preaching of this message tonight. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Now, like I said, God's in charge, and thank God he is. Amen.
Yeah, that's right.
When I say God's in charge, she mentioned there in verse number 3, by him actions are weighed.
Yes.
You don't have to read too far in the Bible and you find a man named Pharaoh. Mm-hmm. He thought he was bigger than God. Right. And Pharaoh stuck his foot in his mouth in Exodus chapter 5 verse 2 when he said, who is the Lord that I should obey him?
Right.
But I'll tell you what, a lot changed from Exodus chapter 5 to verse number 2. A lot changed in Exodus chapter 14, verse 24 and 25, when God looked out of that pillar of fire and took off the wheels of the chariots of the Egyptians, and they feared exceedingly, and they said, let us leave. They didn't get out.
Right.
I'm telling you, God commanded them waves instead of stand up to fall down. And the Egyptians drowned. It said every single one of them.
Yeah.
Not one of them escaped.
No.
And the next morning Israel saw them land on the seashore, and they got to singing and shouting. Mm-hmm. But God had enough of Pharaoh's pomp. And it's amazing what you read about Pharaoh. God raised him up just to make a name for himself. Pharaoh didn't even know he was being used of God. Amen.
That's right.
But by him actions are weighed. You know, a lot of people sleight of hand do a lot of things today.
Yeah.
But you won't, with sleight of hand, you won't never take advantage of God. He's not mocked. The Bible said God's not mocked. And he knows all things. The Bible says that darkness and light are the same to him. He's not hindered by sight, he's not hindered by size, no matter how big they are. Goliath found out a little bitty boy named David, brought him down like a flopping fish on the ground, got his head cut off because he thought he was big enough to stand up to God. I'll just tell you, buddy, by by God, actions are weighed. Hannah, that's the greatest statement I guess anybody could ever say. She said, the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by Him actions are weighed.
Yeah.
There are no secrets with God. He knows all things.
That's right.
1 John chapter 3, verse 20 said, God knows our heart, knoweth all things. And if our conscience condemn us not, we have confidence towards God. Whatsoever we ask, we receive, because we do the same pleasing in His sight. But He'll bring to light, Brother Ed, the hidden things of darkness.
Yes.
And will manifest the counsels of the heart. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5. I think about today all of the political, behind the door, shenanigans. Some of this stuff being pushed today. I think about how they're going to react when God shows up. Just for a minute tonight, I looked on the news and four guys with guns was going to carjack a 23-year-old woman in a car. She was, by the way, ex-military. She was licensed to carry and she knew how to use a gun, shot the first one in the head.
Wow.
And the other three run plumb out of their shoes. But, you know, I'm sure that'll be misconstrued. I'm sure there'll be all kind of tears and drama. We're just going to try to help her and all that stuff. Yeah. Look, you might fool man, but you won't fool God. The Bible said every one of us will give his account of himself to God.
Yeah.
I'm just glad I got my case thrown out. I already pleaded guilty, Brother Ed.
Hey.
I pleaded guilty. I got my case thrown out.
Yeah.
Got a good Jewish lawyer. Hey, I'll tell you right now, buddy, a rich Jewish lawyer, by the way. He ransomed me. But one day the books will be open and men will be judged out of those things written on those books.
Yeah.
Revelation chapter 20, verse 12. Paul said that Jesus is ready to judge the quick and the dead at His appearing. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, Hebrews 13, 4 said He will judge and He will. And there's no respect of person with God.
Right.
Romans 2, 11. And somebody, let me see if I can get this right. Somebody said they just didn't see it that way. Jesus said, for judgment am I come into this world, that they which see not might see, in John chapter 9, verse 39. They may not be able to see it now and understand it now. They may not receive it now, but they will then. They'll see it God's way then, amen.
Right.
And you'll see how wrong you are when He returns, amen. And all these slick, they've got these things they say now, you know, hate speech, tolerance, and all that.
Yeah.
Good luck with the tolerance. Good luck with the rainbow. Good luck with the Black Lives Matter. Good luck with the critical race theory. Good luck with the I can't think of a term we use now. White supreme, some kind of stupid stuff.
Yeah.
All them word salads, boy, I'm telling you, they're going to leave a bad taste in somebody's mouth when God shows up. The Bible said, Brother Ed, it says every mouth is going to be stopped.
Mm-hmm.
And while they're in horror at the reality of the one that's going to show up, just like Hannah said, by Him, actions are going to be weighed. There'll be no double talk.
Nope.
There'll be no lying. There'll be no blaming this and like Adam tried to blame Eve and Eve tried to blame us. There'll be no blaming. You're going to give an account for your actions to God.
Mm.
Like I said, I didn't have my case thrown out. I just pleaded guilty.
Right.
There are a lot of people, they're going to say, well, I'm not that bad. We'll see. Amen. Right. And I'll tell you what, you'll see how wrong you were. And you'll see how wrong you are when He returns.
Amen.
And the only thing they'll be burning when He shows up, Brother Ed, will be the road up going out of there trying to get away, man.
That's right.
Jesus said in John chapter 12, verse 48, He said, this word is the same that will judge you guilty in the last day.
Mm.
See, I'll read a little bit of that right there, because people there, they don't want nothing to do with no Bible, no church, nothing like that. And
you know,
that's you know, it's free country. I understand all that. Jesus says, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words. I've met a lot of people like that. Jesus said, he has one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. We sung Last Mile of the Way.
Yes.
Well, one of these days it'll be the last mile, the last day, and it'll be the last say. You'll realize you was wrong. You'll realize God's right. Always been right.
Mm-hmm.
He's right in everything he does.
Right.
He's right in giving people forgiveness for sins that don't deserve it.
Yes.
I heard somebody try to give an explanation of grace. And it was fire. I don't know that it's adequate, but it said, just suppose that a man murdered someone's son, and the father come to him and said, you're our son now. We forgive you. Our son's bed will be your bed. You'll be in our will. You'll eat our food. We'll give you our money. And the man says, why are you doing all this? He says, it's grace. You don't deserve it. We don't deserve grace. But God still gives it.
Right.
And he gives it to those, you know, that ask for it.
That's right.
But anyway, he said, your motive, King Nebuchadnezzar, he got downsized. He got a little too big.
That's right.
God had used King Nebuchadnezzar to enslave his people. Israel, they got a little too big for God too. We'll get that in a second.
Yeah.
But King Nebuchadnezzar, he got downsized in Daniel chapter 4, verse 33. And the reason he got downsized is because I said God's in charge. He thought he was in charge. He said, is this not great Babylon that I've made, that I raised up? And by the time he got them words out of his mouth, a voice from heaven said, unto thee it's spoken. He started eating grass like a cow. He got downsized. King Belshazzar, he got paralyzed in Daniel chapter 5, verse 5. When he saw that hand writing on the wall, he realized, buddy, he went too far in his mocking, amen.
Mm-hmm.
But in 2 Chronicles chapter 36, verse 16 through 21, God had had enough of Israel. Playtime was over. And I'm going to read some of that because I read it right before I come over here. I thought, wow, man, did they ever get the message that God was trying to give them? In 2 Chronicles chapter 36, and it's, you know, all nations, just like America, just like Israel, there's no nation too big for God.
No, there's not.
When the Bible says all the nations that forget God will be turned into hell, he included them all. But in 2 Chronicles chapter 36, it says here, starting in verse 15, and the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by his messengers, rising up betime and sending, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. But they mocked the messengers of God and despised his words and misused his prophets, until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people, till there was no remedy. Therefore he brought upon them the king of the Chaldees, who slew their young men with a sword in the house of their sanctuary, and had no compassion upon the young men, or the maiden, or the old man, or him that stoopeth for age. He gave them all into his hand.
Yeah.
And the vessels of the house of God, great and small, and the treasures of the house of the Lord, and the treasures of the king, and the treasures of his princes, all these he brought to Babylon. And they burnt the house of God, break down the wall of Jerusalem, and burnt all the palaces thereof with fire, and destroyed all the goodly vessels thereof. And them that had escaped from the sword carried he away to Babylon, where they were servants to him and his sons, until the reign of the king of Persia, to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land had enjoyed her Sabbath. For as long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath to fulfill 70 years. 40 years,
yeah,
Israel found out that God was in charge.
Yeah, that's right.
All of that denial, all of that mocking, all of that, yeah, we'll see, come to be a reality. God has not changed.
Never.
His word has not changed.
Never.
He's never going to change.
Never.
He changeth not. His
Amen.
Word, He's settled in the heavens, command to 1,000 generations. I'm just telling you, buddy, God is in charge.
Yes, He is.
Now, I'm in over my head here tonight. There's no need in having laws if the laws are not enforced.
Right.
And laws need to be fair. I don't like laws that aren't fair. I think they need to be reasonable. I don't think they need to be wrote in such a way that you can't hardly keep them. You can't even tell when you have broke one till they get it out. I think they need to be fair. I think they need to be, enforced. If they don't, they're useless.
Yeah.
And, we got crime in our streets right now.
Mm-hmm.
They're burning churches down. They're killing people. They're robbing people. They're raping people.
Mm-hmm.
The reason they're doing that is because laws are not being enforced.
Right.
When someone jumps up on a police car, I'll be measuring for a casket. I'm just telling you. When you're desecrating not only a police man or a police woman, and I'm trying to get the pronouns right, stupid society, I've never seen nothing like our society any way but God's way. But when you desecrate a policeman or a police woman or a police car, that comes with a price. That price needs to be paid. And I'm talking about you can either rot in hell or jail or prison, but that price needs to be paid.
Yeah.
The Bible said, and I believe it's Ecclesiastes chapter 18, verse 11. I believe it's right. It said, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the Son of Man is fully set in him to do evil. What? Laws without enforcement are useless,
yes.
But laws, when they're enforced, we have peace.
Amen.
In the streets. We got a lot of things going on today. And you would think with the things going on today that God's not in charge. But He done declared this all. He's still in charge. He's letting man see that man can't go without God. He can't make it without God. Man needs God more than God needs man. God loves man. But God can make man. I believe Jesus said God can command these stones to be seed of Abraham, and He can. But man needs God, but man don't like to acknowledge God. Man don't like to even think there really is a God. I corresponded to some idiot on the internet, and he said, can you prove to me your God exists? I said, I don't even know that you exist. Prove to me you exist, and I'll prove to you God exists. He never did reply back.
No.
But it's kind of, they call it a strong man argument. Even though it's a strong man argument, if he said, well, I exist, I wrote to you, I say, God wrote to you too, buddy.
Right.
But anyway, make a long story short, God's still in charge.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you right now, He keeps good records. And one day, ain't too far off neither, one day He's going to set His foot down. One day He's going to step down. And I'll tell you what, this world is going to, it's going to pay the price for trying to live ungodly,
yeah,
selfish lives, and expect that God's somehow going to tolerate it. The Bible mentioned about Sodom and Gomorrah,
yeah,
that God didn't just destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, but He made them an example unto those that hereafter,
yeah,
should live ungodly.
Yes.
And you'd think that'd be enough.
Huh.
But I know they've done about made full circle on this stuff right here.
Boy.
They're trying to rebuild Sodom right now, I think. Says here about Sodom in 2 Peter chapter 2,
yeah,
verse 6, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemning them. God's not for the Rainbow Coalition.
No.
He condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly.
Yeah.
God doesn't condone homosexuality. He condemns homosexuality. And
I don't understand how our president got away with putting those rainbow colors on our White House, and nobody, but nobody said anything to the man about doing it.
Yeah.
That I know of.
That's the power of politics. See no evil, speak no evil, hear no evil.
Well, we had to look at it, brother, every time that they flashed the screen up.
Yep. I agree with that statement, Brother Ed. That's another writing on the wall. I'm just telling you, when Belshazzar just kept on and on and on,
pretty soon
the finger started writing on the wall, and it said, many, many, the partisan, you've been weighing the balances, found wanted. Well, Hannah said, by him, actions are weighed.
Yeah.
Belshazzar went too far in his actions, and he got weighed in the balances. He died that night. And the Bible tells us in Psalms chapter 9, verse 17, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. I see the writing on the wall. I see it. Seen great writing on the wall when the Twin Towers fell.
Yeah, boy.
September the 11th, I saw great writing on the wall. That was impossible without God allowing it. But make a long story short, just remember, God is in charge. And by him, actions are weighed.
Yes, they are.
And if we could get back, and we won't, it's going to continue to get worse and worse.
Yeah.
I'm glad I'm on the winning side.
Amen.
I'm glad, praise God, I know in whom I have believed. Mm-hmm. And I'm persuaded he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day.
Yes.
I know, praise God, that even tonight, if old Brother Eddie was to be called upon, but I'm good to go.
Yeah.
It's not like I've got, hold on this minute, let me go clean a few things up. I'm good to go. Amen. I tell you right now, best thing you can do is confess your sin, get forgiveness of them, and if not, you might have to answer for some of them. But my sins have all done been settled.
Yeah.
They've done been paid for, present, past, and future,
right, by
the blood of Jesus. I've got a conscience void of offense, but I will tell you this. If I didn't have a conscience void of offense, I'd do something about it.
Mm-hmm.
One thing about that conscience, when the Bible says God's greater than our heart and knows all things, if our heart condemns us not, then we have confidence towards God, whatsoever we do, pleasing His sight. I've messed that all up. God's greater than our heart, knoweth all things, if our heart condemns us not, we have confidence with God, whatsoever we ask for, receive, come to do the same, pleasing in His sight.
Right.
I'm just telling you, without that confidence of a conscience that's clean and pure, you're not going to get nowhere in prayer. You're not going to get nowhere with God. Make things right with the Lord, then go pray. Make things right with the Lord.
Yeah.
Enjoy the day. Make things right with the Lord. Because I'm going to tell you right now, you're not going to hide it from Him.
No, we're not.
You can hide it, my old Brother Eddie. You can hide it, my old Brother Ed. You might be able to hide it, Mom or Dad. You know, I think about these young people today that doing a lot of things they shouldn't be doing.
Yeah.
Some of them falling prey to them. Come with a price.
Hmm.
About everything comes with a price. But I'm glad heaven's still free. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And I am glad God's in charge. That allows me to sleep better. If God wasn't in charge, I'd be worried about tomorrow. But since God's in charge, He said it. He said, let not your heart be troubled and mine's not.
Right.
And He said, you believe in God, believe also in me, and I do. Amen. All the way.
All the way is right.
And I ain't worried about a thing because God's in charge.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God He is. Lord, we scattered tonight. I've done the best I could, Lord, what little thoughts I had about the matter.
Yeah.
But I thank you, Lord, that you're in charge. I thank you, Lord, that you're going to show up one day and, you're going to make the wrongs right. And you're going to make a lot of people understand that they should have been paying attention to some of the things they was condoning, some of the things that they're doing. And Lord, we know you're going to straighten this thing out. You clean house down here twice while you was down here. But boy, you're really going to clean house when you come back. And I pray for your children. I pray for your church. I pray you'll help us, Lord, to be what you called us to be exceptional. Lord, to shine as lights. amidst this crooked and perverse generation, Lord, this sinful generation, Father,
yeah.
that just don't understand it, you're coming back. And Lord, help our leaders, help our country. I'd love to see a minute of repentance. I'd love to see a great revival.
Yeah.
I'd love to see people truly repenting and trying to live for God and have a pure heart, trying to do right. Not haphazardly, Lord, but earnestly and Lord, trying their best, Lord, to be a blessing.
Yeah.
And Lord, we pray tonight in Jesus' name, your will tonight and all these things. Amen.
Amen.
Remember, God's in charge, amen.
Mm-hmm.
And He's coming back. He's not going to take no polls. It's not going to be rioting in the streets. Might be some people running to the hills trying to find a good hole to jump in.
That's right.
Saying, hide us from the face of Him that's coming. But He's coming back, and my, oh my, is He going to be mad at the world. Not at the church, but at the world.